Should know that. But keep showing up for that. Like I said, I know not everybody's gonna be able to make it every week. Just make it on the weeks you can, and we'll get you in there. Jordan, I haven't seen you yet. Do we have a way to get you in there?
No, I had a game.
Okay. All right. Don't have a game next Tuesday, bro.
No, my season's done.
Okay, that's what I thought. I prayed about it, and there we go. That's what happened. Who else have we missed? Colton, you weren't on there this time, were you?
No.
Okay, not this time. Right on. Sierra, were you working?
Yeah.
I saw Sierra at work. Was it on Tuesday?
Yesterday.
Yeah, Wednesday, yeah. Oh, my gosh. It's very good. Jordan, saw you even. Amanda, I missed you, but we talked. I know Kenzie was out courtside with Macy. Where's Macy? Oh, there you are. Okay, cool. Awesome. All right. So, now good job on that, guys. What should we do for our youth group party? Just meet up at Jordan's house. All right, let's do it. Good deal. Yeah. Yeah. Did you guys already call dibs on that? Okay.
No.
Huh?
Other people can have it too.
Okay, so the Stevensons are graciously offering.
Lexi,
you're just trying to give everybody else a chance to
participate. Yeah. It's always at our house, I feel like. I don't know.
Maybe that should just be the place where we have parties.
We have a small house. It was bigger anyway.
No. Actually, the smaller the better because, like, you're on top of each other. It's sort of cozy.
Yeah.
Very good. Dude, I remember back when. Remember when Josh Smith was living over there in his like duplex. Little duplex,
oh,
like 40
God.
People with pounds of that thing, like laying on each other behind the couches and everywhere. So nobody's house is too small, right? We can do it. No.
Yes,
that's what makes it fun, dude. It's like mosh pit. So
is that getting my apartment's too small?
No, Drake's apartment is where we're gonna do it. Okay, his apartment might be the size.
Make
of
people
this,
stand
this,
outside.
Yeah, this orange space over here or something like that. So, No, seriously, dude. Like, we.
That was cool.
If nothing else, it'll be a funny story to talk about how we all like.
It was something.
Anymore. So, if nobody else wants to host our next party, it will default to the Stevensons.
You can have it at your house.
You could.
But Zach's cleaning up. Okay.
On what?
You'll clean up.
Is that so? You guys don't like doing? You have to clean up all the time.
We don't even.
Laura cleans up three times as
well. Oh, Ethan just does much. Yeah.
What are
we
doing?
Huh?
Like, what are we doing? Just getting together, hanging out.
Basically.
Okay.
No,
mine is true.
What did you say?
Actually, my room's clean right now.
Your room is what?
I clean a terrible mess.
Your room is usually pretty.
It took me 6 hours to clean my room yesterday.
It took me 5 hours.
I just
didn't
clean
up my floor.
So who in here has issues with the room? Whose room is like always jacked up? Okay, so we have some. Okay, Macy, why don't you tell us what you do to keep your? Because
a week later,
from Macy's own parents, they gloat about this girl's ability to keep her room clean. So hopefully Macy can be she's doing exactly.
Are you one of those people that make their bed before they leave?
No,
I don't.
I do.
So, okay, let's start with that. Macy, what is the optimum time of day to make your bed?
Wait.
Okay, go ahead, Macy. Optimum time of day to make
the
bed.
Sometimes I don't really make my bed, but if I do, because I just, like, put my pillows, like, stacked up in front of my bed. But if I do make my bed, it'll probably be, like, after school.
See.
But you're like, but then like 3 hours later, you're about to go to bed.
And people
oh,
like,
that'd be like
5 o'clock.
Like 6 hours later, you're about to go to bed. So like, what's the point of doing it when you're just going to mess it up again?
Explain, Macy. Go ahead.
Well, then like, I don't know. Like, I have a lot of pillows on my bed.
You do.
So
yeah,
then, like,
Kenzie.
Then it
how
just,
about
like,
that?
Frees up space on your floor.
Boom! So now she actually has a floor she can walk on, unlike some people that are wearing Jesus sandals who can't even walk on their own floor.
Now I can, because I just cleaned my room!
Girl, her room was so dirty, like...
You could not even see the floor.
You could.
Okay, in the wintertime, that's not so bad. I'll tell you why I don't like that in the summertime. Spiders. The more crap you have on your floor, the more piles of stuff, you're asking for spiders to come. What's up, Sierra?
I have to validate that I have at least killed 5 spiders this week.
See?
In my room.
Oh my
it
gosh.
Is not fun. Like,
when I came...
My cat is just alive, I swear. So my cat's lucky. He has one eye. I feel like he only sees what he wants to see. He's been the only thing that's been spotting these spiders until like I look up and be like, oh, there's one.
How does your cat spot them? Like, what do they say? Like, when they spot them? Oh, it's there. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Oh my god. All right, wait. Amanda had something. What were you gonna say?
My cat brought a mouse in this week, but like she killed it inside. So
Oh.
That's why I don't want during winter.
Yeah. Okay. That's
a
good point.
I'd rather have
spiders than mice. Because mice don't bite, do they? No. They can bite you.
It's a rodent. Why would it not bite you?
They can like chew through your clothes and through plastic tubs, and they can get into your stuff, and their poop is like
hamster skin?
Toxic. Yeah.
They're like really cuddly rats, though, right? It's the same thing, basically. Yeah, I'm not sure, man. There's like certain animals you just don't see biting you, like a koala or something like that. Like, you just think it would nibble you to death or something. Just like, or nuzzle you.
Nuzzle is more cute word. Have you seen when they put that like rat in the bucket and heat the bucket up and it eats through the guy?
Yes, I have seen that.
They bite.
Bryn, go ahead.
If I saw a spider, I would scream.
I believe that. I believe that. All the way.
Yeah, I can't kill spiders, so I don't know about it.
Like, they don't do anything, but I just can't kill them.
I'm not a spider that doesn't do anything to
me. Spiders do something. They do something.
Well, no, they do anything to me, so I'm like, I can't kill this.
I killed a frog close to death.
But I would do something to you.
You said while you're in the bathtub, you kill one?
No, I got the curtain. I was.
No, that's not even cool, dude. I always check for spiders before I get in. Always. I won't play
like
this. All right. So hold on. Maybe what I'm getting is we're gonna have the youth night. So is it at my place or the Stevenson? I don't mind hosting it. That's nothing, man. I mean, let's go. I'm hosting it. All right. Let's do paper rock scissors afterwards. We'll figure this out. Yeah. Saray asked a good question. So it's gonna be next Friday, the 12th.
I'll be gone. What?
Where are you guys gonna be?
Nebraska
basketball tournament.
What? And you're probably going the Friday after that, too, right? It's all right. Are you? No. The 19th? Is that what that is?
No, the 19th, I have a nail appointment.
Okay. How many people can make the 12th? How many of you guys can make the 12th if we did it?
I already requested off for that.
Friday.
Probably.
Does Friday work best for people? I figured it did, but if not, I mean.
We can do it on my birthday.
I don't know when your birthday is, Bryn. I mean, I know what day it is. Hey, I know that, but I mean, I don't know what day it is. We're not going to do it on your birthday. All right, we're trying to do something for February. So let's just do that. Let's just, I think most of you guys can make it Friday, so we're going to stick it on Friday.
Okay, if it's Porsche the 19th, then I can just
ask. Amanda, where were you going to be going?
Nebraska.
Well, I'll pray that didn't work out. And Story, where are you going? No, I'm just playing.
Salina.
All right. We'll hope that gets shut down, too. All right. Hoop. Ethan, is this yours, bro? I saw you. Is this you right here?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. You left your Bible up here, dude. So, who is this, for real? Oh, it is a little Ninos.
Street art.
Got some good Bible timelines going on back here. Very nice. You can see the plan of creation. What's up?
Can
we...
Oh, listen up. Kenzie's got a nice little report.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So we were at Saray's basketball game on Tuesday, okay? And so Maddie was kind of getting on my nerves. And so she's like, Kenzie, you need to look down there. Like, this guy looks like you. And I was like, no. And I was like, get out of my face. And so she's like, no, you have to go. Like, literally, like, the male version of me.
Come on.
Okay. I took a
picture. Oh, yeah. Let's see that picture. Let's go. And you're 12.
No,
you're 12.
13.
No, but when I was 21.
That's what I was getting at.
He was on the other team, but like.
Be careful
with
your drinks,
son. Dude! Yeah. I'm gonna show everybody. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
That is nuts.
That's really. Oh my gosh. Yeah, dude.
That is crazy.
If you got a haircut like that, that's what you look like.
That's nuts. I wonder if everybody has like opposite gender somewhere else.
Can you be a girl or a boy? Like
you're not. Dang, dude. I don't even want to see it look like as a girl. Damn. I'm so manly, it'll just be disgusting.
There's Snapchat filters for that.
That looks like
a group. Do you still have your Snapchat?
Yeah, I do. I never use that thing. Yeah, just I never use that thing. I vaguely remember that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
It's funny because they put it as like the white girls, the little white. Yeah, that was funny.
I remember that. Okay, so far, we don't know where we're gonna be having this.
We can decide food.
Okay, we can always decide. That's a, yeah. Let's have the food and meet around the food. The food will guide us. What's up, Jared? The food always guides us. So what are we gonna eat? We're just gonna do what we always been doing, like Cane's. Let's do it at Jared and Kenzie's. Yeah, absolutely. Are you serious?
I mean, you just in time. Do what?
We're trying to find a house to host our next youth night, man.
I mean, you know how big our house is.
Bro, no. Somebody tell Jared what we talked about with these big houses and everything.
It's my apartment.
Yeah. It was going to be Drake's apartment first, bro.
Yeah. We can. We can all be very close to Drake's apartment.
That'd be very good. That's what we want. We want that filling up togetherness, you know? We want COVID for Jordan. What's up? All right. So... no food though. We're just gonna do like Cane's again. It seems like that thing's been in for a while.
I'm doing that.
Or we could do Chick-fil-A.
Macy wants Chick-fil-A. Kenzie didn't like Chick-fil-A as much.
It's not hard to fix it.
You like it? I thought you like their bread or something like that. So what can you have? Do they have naked ones like Cane's?
They're like
real. Yeah, they're not as good though.
Okay,
like
I just
would like
to let me know
where it's like bread. Yeah, because that
would be
like soggy and weird tasting.
No, it's not that expensive.
Oh, I know, no. We might, you know, just do some Chick-fil-A.
Wait,
we
can just do what Macy does for her birthday party every year. We can get Chick-fil-A nuggets then. Everybody bring mac and cheese.
Yes!
Wait, what are you doing today?
And my favorite food
is
at the one.
Yeah, I forgot about that, dude. Yeah.
It's okay.
You're very canceled, I'm telling you.
Zach,
what's up?
That's like the best idea.
What?
We can make mac and cheese. Kenzie can make mac and cheese.
We can have a variety.
Do we need that much mac and cheese?
Yes.
Even
yeah.
I'd be satisfied with just mac and cheese. We'll just have her cook up a couple crock pots and then we'll bring it up.
You know how honored she would be with
chicken tenders? I do. So I do.
Like okay.
So right now it sounds like chicken tenders and macaroni. Okay, well, guys, where's the greenery? What are we going to do to flush this stuff out of her?
Caesar's
out. Okay.
From Panera.
I was a green greens. You guys ever had collard greens?
Yes.
Oh, do you like
greens? Yeah. Excellent.
Greens
on board.
Chicken tenders, it sounds like.
Chicken nuggets.
So we'll get some Chick-fil-A, we'll get some
we'll
get some Cane's for Kenzie.
I'll get Cane's for myself. Don't you worry about it.
So Kenzie will get the Cane's, we'll get the Chick-fil-A. And then I guess Selma, Kenzie,
is responsible for mac and cheese either from herself or from her nana?
I'll get it from my nana. My mac and cheese.
Your mac and cheese is good.
I'm all worn out.
I mean, do they sell the sauces? Like in bulk?
When you cater, they give you.
When you cater, you can like choose what sauces you want.
So they'll
give you big containers with it.
So I'm sure we can like write down like what sauces like we would like make like a section and then do like tally marks.
I'll just say it right now, like what are you gonna miss out on?
I always do ranch and buffalo sauce.
Yes. Ranch and buffalo? Yeah, ranch.
I'm pretty sure they get it on you.
Ranch and Chick-fil-A.
No, you have to like buffalo. Order them. Mm-hmm. Like they come to these like.
Yeah, but you just said we want all your sauces, so we just give you all the sauces.
Yeah, but you have to like order them individually. You have to like order how many you want them, like because they're tough.
All right, what we'll do? We'll do it when you guys come over. We'll just do that next time I come over. You guys come over. Okay. We'll just sit down and figure this out. Okay, Sierra, it's nice to see you at the store.
Have you come by and get something?
Huh? It's
just nice to see you come by and get something
that
the kitchen never bring down.
Is that the question?
Oh, I work at Price Chopper. No, my sister's
though. Sorry, she's biased.
The one by our house.
She thinks it's gloomy. Or is that you, Ethan?
I usually work from like 4 to like 9:30 or 10. Past time is really dark in the summer. Don't you think it's like dark? I went there the other day. Are you going to show me all these? Yeah, it's one of the things. Cam's going to tell us the story about his knee.
What happened to your knee?
So I was climbing over the fence to try and do some work on the fence and...
Fence work on you.
What?
My rib went right into the fence,
so I cracked a rib.
Oh, dang, dude.
What kind of fence was it?
It was like an old rotty fence out in my backyard.
Are you okay? Yeah.
Check yourself.
Do you have a cast on? Are you wrapped up? Yeah, he's just rib.
How did you just, are you guessing you cracked it or you know you cracked it? Like, you got like,
well, I mean, it's just really painful.
It's really painful. So,
it feels okay.
I'll check it.
I know, man.
I was wondering if you had like a cast on.
It could, Caleb, be careful because your feelings are held right here, too. So it's right.
I have a feeling. One last question.
Who's going to win the Super Bowl this week?
Cheese.
How do you know that?
Did you see the thing where they did all the questions right in the window and all of the things?
I agree with those ones.
No, I didn't see that.
I'll be nervous. Like, I think it'll be close, and I'll be nervous throughout.
All right, so right now, the youth night. Youth night's going to be February 12th, 6 o'clock. Either Stevenson's, my house, or Jared's. right now it's going to be me. If you and Kenzie talk about it, you want to do that? Absolutely.
Amanda reminded me, in lieu of my wife, that we're actually out of town, so.
I would be with
you. Amanda, you're ruining this whole family. You are separating this family.
Okay.
All right, so it will not be, unless you want us to have it there.
I mean, I can get my
That's how it is by order of the limited.
That way we don't have to clean up anything. We can just leave. No. No, so right now, let's just plan on my house. Yeah, we'll do that. We'll get the karaoke machine out and go to town.
No, and the smoothie. 90s throwback.
Jenny,
is it broken?
90s throwback.
Hey, the last time I heard it on, the last time I checked it on, it literally, like, acted weird.
Really?
Yeah.
Sure, what is it? You already acting weird?
Literally.
No,
I would have heard myself since I
quit. Yeah.
All right, what's up, man? So,
I have a karaoke microphone that, like, hooks up to my phone, but it's, like, a handheld microphone.
Bring both. Just bring both. Because theirs is pretty good, but bring yours, too. Well, you already heard theirs. Yeah.
Yeah.
Why don't we just learn to play guitar?
I have one upstairs and downstairs.
I don't have any games.
Oh, Guitar Hero.
I have
Guitar
Hero.
Guitar Hero is so fun. I have
Because today's the 4th, right?
I mean,
it's a full day or something.
I'm giving myself 6
Yeah.
Because
I tried it.
Really?
Yeah,
okay. Can you ask
them?
Let him know.
All right, so next slide. You guys, you guys square? You solid on that? Kill, you good to go? You good to go with me? Yeah. All right.
Just
no more fences.
No. Because next time Halloween yard, we'll beat that fence up for you.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Shots
fired. Down.
Oh, dude. Lexi.
Lexi.
All right. Let's grab our hymnals now, guys, and sing some songs.
Do something. We haven't done that in like 3 weeks.
Let's do it then. 272. All right. Let's pray and then we'll sing. Jordan Hermosillo, get us going, bro. Amen. All right, verse number 1, 272. Here we go. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Let's pick it up, verse number 3 here. Here we go. Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, man. His oath is covered in his blood. Support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. All right, what's going to be next? Let's do 270. I love that song. The Haven of Rest. 270, verse number 1. Here we go. My soul in sad exile was, how I see, so burdened with sin and distress, till I heard a sweet voice saying, make me your choice. Then I entered the haven of rest. I anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide seas no more. The tempest may sweep o'er the wild stormy deep. In Jesus I am safe evermore. I yielded myself to his tender embrace, in faith taking hold of the word. My fetters fell off and I anchored my soul. The haven of rest is my Lord. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide seas no more. The tempest may sweep o'er the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. The song of my
my soul since the Lord made me whole. Has been that old story so blessed. Of Jesus who'll save whosoever will have a home in the haven of rest. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide seas no more. The tempest may sweep o'er the wild stormy deep. In Jesus I am safe evermore. Saved by his power divine. Come anchor your soul in the haven of rest and say, my beloved is mine. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide seas no more. The tempest may sweep o'er the wild stormy deep. In Jesus
I'm safe evermore.
You guys want to do something faster or slower? I believe that. 255, blessed assurance. Blessed assurance. Here we go. First one.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. I'm born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission,
perfect
delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above those echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed. I'm watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness. I'm lost.
Amen.
This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Let's do that last verse. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I am my Savior, I'm happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This song is beautiful. It's a great song about anticipation towards heaven. And it was written by a blind woman, Fanny Crosby. I was just wondering, you know, what would that be like to go through all your life without being able to see the beautiful, you know, pictures that we see, the images and the colors and to take in the world in that way, you know, and having to hear everything, you know, thank God for that. She wasn't like Helen Keller. She wasn't deaf and blind. But, you know, just being able to hear that stuff, you know, I can't imagine, man, like that first sight being heaven, what that would be like. And just even though we sing this song, I believe we mean it, you know, how much more she would have meant it. You know, talking about visions of rapture now burst on my sight. You know, she's blind, watching and waiting. You know, she can't look at anything, but it was all in her heart and it was all what she was anticipating. So verse number 3, let's finish up there. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. All right, what else? We got time for maybe one or two more? Ooh, Kenzie's favorite. What is that? 455?
No, that is not 455.
What is it?
I just actually don't know.
Uh-oh. What's your answer to me? 483?
Maybe 485?
485, 483? I knew it was 4 something.
448.
Is it 448?
No.
Thank you.
Thanks, Kenzie.
Thank you, Kenzie.
I'm sorry I don't know Kenzie.
448. All right, here we go. There's a sweet and blessed story of the Christ who came from glory just to rescue me from sin and misery. He in loving kindness sought me and from sin and shame has bought me. Hallelujah, Jesus ransomed me. Hallelujah, what a Savior who can take a poor lost sinner, lift him from the miry clay and set him free. I will ever tell the story, shouting glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah, Jesus ransomed me. From the depth of sin and sadness to the heights of joy and gladness, Jesus lifted me in mercy full and free. When I knew He sought me and in love divine. Oh, oh, oh. Hey. All right, I'm sorry. I ruined that, guys. Sometimes I'll start, like, stop looking at the book. So you guys got to, like, overpower me in that situation. Here we go. Verse number 2. From the depth of sin and sadness to the heights of joy and gladness, Jesus lifted me in mercy full and free. With His precious blood He bought me. When I knew Him not, He sought me. And love divine He ransomed me. Hallelujah, what a Savior who can take a poor lost sinner, lift him from the miry clay and set him free. I will ever tell the story, shouting glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah, Jesus ransomed me. By and by, with joy increasing and with gratitude unceasing, lifted up to be with Christ eternally. I will join the host there singing in the anthem ever ringing. And to the King of love who ransomed me. Hallelujah, what a Savior who can take hold of sin, lift him from the miry clay and set him free. I will tell the story shouting glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah, Jesus ransomed me. gonna say at 4:54. Five. In my heart. In my heart, there rings the melody.
Yeah.
All right. Another holder outer. Here we go. Verse 1. I have a song that Jesus gave me. It was sent from heaven above. There never was a sweeter melody. 'Tis the melody of love in my heart. There rings a melody, there rings a melody of heaven's harmony. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody of love. I love the Christ who died on Calvary, for he washed my sins away. He put within my heart a melody, and I know 'tis there to stay. There rings a melody of heaven's harmony. In my heart there rings a melody. There rings a melody of love. 'Twill be my endless theme and glory. With the angels I will sing. 'Twill be my glorious song of harmony. We met. May the chorus of heaven ring in my heart. There rings a melody, there rings a melody of heaven's harmony. In my heart there rings a melody of. Four 63. What shall it be? All that thrills my soul. That's a good one. What do you know about this song?
Like the song.
Mm-hmm. All right, I guess that's enough. All right, here we go. Verse 1. Who can cheer the heart like Jesus by his presence all divine? Tender, pure, and precious. Oh, how blessed to call him mine. All that thrills my soul is Jesus. He is more than life to me. And the fairest of 10,000.
While
we're singing through this, a lot of verses, but a lot of good content. Guys, take this time and just use that as a devotional time between you and the Lord. Make sure your heart's where it needs to be. Make sure that the things that you're affectionate about are the same things that he is. Ask yourself, you know, the things that the Republicans and the Democrats are pissed off about, are they your things? Should they be your things as someone that is not a citizen of this earth, but whose true home is in heaven? Ask yourself that. Think about it. You know, one of these things we watched a couple of weekends ago was a movie called Torture for Christ. And there's a great book. It might be in our bookstore. If not, you can get it some other places by this guy named Richard Wurmbrand. And he was in Romania. And it happened, you know, when the Russians took over after World War II and they were under communism. And, you know, Christianity soon became outlawed. Any type of dissension against the government was outlawed. But this guy was a preacher. So what's he going to do? You know, fold up and, you know, retire? No, he kept with it. Well, he ended up being in solitary confinement for like over 3 years. It was part of it, but he got tortured the whole time. But one of the awesome things I loved about it was that during that time he was in there, the number one thing he was worried about was witnessing to his torturers. You know, making sure that, Lord, I do everything to make sure that, you know, even though these guys might beat me to death, they don't end up dying and going to hell because they'll be tortured forever.
So a Christian's heart has got to be in a different place than the rest of the world. Absolutely. There's things I love in this country that I see disappearing. There's injustices and all that stuff like that. You can always get caught up in that stuff. If I wanted to, I could tear this youth group apart by going to each and every one of you and then highlighting the reasons why I think other people in this room don't like you. You know, hey, you notice how much time they're spending over there with him, but they haven't spent that time with you. That's all you have to do in a group, in a society, in a country, is point out the things that, you know, aren't right. You can make those your highlights. As a Christian, guys, we've got to have our mind. We've got to be walking on higher ground. We got to be seeing the long-term effect that's going to be happening to men in their souls. What the devil wants us to do is get caught up in these trivial little things that won't matter once you take your last breath. So think about this. Is all that thrills your soul Jesus? Is it your PlayStation? Is it your job? Is it your friends? Has it been accepted? Is it getting enough likes on social media? What really thrills your soul? The awesome thing about this, the Bible says, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Take some time right now to get right, put your heart where it needs to be, and ask yourself that question. Is Jesus Christ the only thing that truly, that truly, that truly, that truly, that truly, that truly thrills my soul? All right, let's do verse number 2.
Love of Christ so freely given, grace of God beyond degree, mercy higher than the heavens, deeper than the deepest sea.
We should be in hell.
All that thrills my soul is Jesus. He is more than life to me. And the fairest of 10,000 in my blessed Lord I see.
One last thing. He is more than life to me. That means if you lose your life for Jesus Christ, you didn't lose anything. You gained something. Because he's greater than life. All right. Verse number 3.
What a wonderful redemption. Never can a mortal know. How my sin, though red like crimson, can be whiter than the snow. Flowing river, with the ransomed I will sing, and forever and forever, praise and glorify the King. All that thrills my soul is Jesus.
Chorus one more time. All that thrills my soul.
All that thrills my soul is Jesus. He is more than life to me. And the fairest of 10,000 my blessed Lord I see.
Lexi, pray for us, and then we'll have our message.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, just thank you for this day. Just thank you for letting us have this time. I pray that you give them the right words to say, and that we can just have a good rest of our night and week. And I love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Space and breathe. All right, guys. So, the main verse or the main passage I'm going to be talking to you guys out of is going to be found over in Hosea. The book of Hosea. We've looked at this. This book a little bit. I know Zach's, and you guys know Zach's preached on it a few different times here recently. It's the book of Hosea. It's going to be chapter 10. Hosea chapter 10. All right. And so before I get to talking to you guys about this passage, though, I kind of want to just explain, like, what kind of led me to want to share this passage with you guys. This is kind of something that God's had, like, on my mind here lately, especially just kind of with, like, everything we have going on in the world right now. And, I mean, not even just in the world, but in our country right now. You know, we got a lot of political unrest going on. We have a lot of, obviously, pandemic restrictions. A lot of different things have been shut down because of that. We have a lot of different pressures from that. And so lately, guys, I mean, I don't know about you, but like, I've just been thinking lately about like how, you know, we have all that stuff going on, but at the same time, we also have obviously the rapture coming up soon as well. So there's really not like a whole lot of time, hopefully, you know, hopefully the Lord will come back soon. There's really not like a whole lot of time we have left on here on this earth. And I was just thinking about it, just like in my own personal life, I've just been thinking lately, like, am I representing Christ like I ought to be? You know, have I been doing everything lately that I can to make sure that I'm basically, in a way, putting the right image out to people? And what I mean by that, by image, is like, you know, when it comes down to it, there's a certain kind of like persona that we kind of try to give off, right? There's a certain kind of like, I don't know, I want to say like way we want people to see us, right? There's a certain kind of like reputation, I guess maybe you could say, we want to have a certain kind of like image, like in that sense. And I was just thinking to myself, like over the past month, is just like, what kind of like image am I putting out there to the world of myself? Like, how do I appear to other people? What's like, when people think of Drake, like what do they think about? Or like when people see me, like, what am I doing? Like, what's my lifestyle and things like that? Is it one that reflects Christ, or is it one that reflects the things in the world? Or maybe not necessarily just, you know, worldly things. Whenever we say worldly things, we think like sin and stuff like that. But is it, am I putting out an image, you know, of just like, oh yeah, like he's into, you know, this thing, that thing, and that thing, but Christ never comes to somebody's mind. Or the fact that he's a Christian never comes to somebody's mind. I mean, I got like a PS5 recently, and so like I've been playing that thing a lot. And that's what I tend to talk about with people a lot because I'm having a lot of fun with it. So I feel like a lot of people like to come up to me and be like, hey, like, how's your PS5? Or like, oh, are you playing like, you know, did you download Warzone yet or something like that? And so I'm, you know, obviously like there's nothing wrong with like liking, you know, video games or whatever it is you're into. But at the end of the day, I've been asking myself lately, like, what do people know me for? Like, what's the image? What's that persona that I'm putting out there? Cause you know, there's all kinds of different lifestyles out there for people to have. There's all kinds of different, you know, things to get into that you see out there. And social media is like one of those ways that it really gets put out there. You know, like on Instagram, you always see people post like all like the fun things they're doing or like the latest trends that they're into. Or, you know, if they get like the latest pair of Nikes or something like that, they want to show that off or something like that. You're always seeing things like that on social media. And what it is it's all like an image. It's all like, okay, you should be like this, or okay, you should have this thing or be doing this stuff, you know. I don't know if you guys ever heard of this phrase. It's probably before my time. You guys ever heard of like keeping up with the Joneses? Like, is that okay? So that term still still goes on today. Okay. Yeah, so it's like, it's basically just like a term for like trying to keep up with everything. You know, you're trying to keep up with the latest trends and stuff like that. And so with all those things, you know, we have things not just on social media, but we also have things obviously like on TV and in movies and stuff like that. I feel like a lot of times we kind of get like our impression of like the way the world's supposed to work or the way, you know, people are from like movies and TV. But if you think about that, that's like a really bad thing to do. There's a lot of violence on TV. There's a lot of like really like bad things on TV. We probably shouldn't be modeling ourselves after. But so with all that being said, guys, my main message for you guys today is what is your image? What kind of image are you putting out to the rest of the world for the rest of the world to see? And so I took you guys over here to Hosea 10 because it's talking about images that Israel went after, all right? So most of you guys probably know over in the book of Hosea, this is a like pre-exile type book. So historically, the nation of Israel, at this point, they're super into apostasy. They've gotten so far removed from God that they're starting to do things that the Gentile nations are doing around them. They've really gotten into all this like pagan stuff, sacrificing to false idols, false gods. They've really gotten into all that kind of stuff. All the things that they see going on, basically going on in the world around them, pretty much, if you think about it. It's kind of like today. You know, all this stuff is going on around them, and they start thinking to themselves, like, hey, I kind of want some of that. You know, back over in 1 Samuel, the whole, one of the reasons that they even got a king, King Saul, was because they were complaining to God, hey, we want this like the other nations have. We want a king like the other nations have one. You know, they weren't fit to just be God's people and just kind of have that, you know, reputation or have that kind of image out to other people. They wanted something like what the rest of the world had, basically. And so we get to Hosea 10, and we kind of see the development of that thing. We see where they really get to in their apostasy here. So I'm going to read for you guys here in chapter 10. I'm going to read verses 1 and 2. So it says, Israel is an empty vine. He bringeth forth fruit unto himself. According to the multitude of his fruit, he hath increased the altars. According to the goodness of his land, they have made goodly images. Their heart is divided. Now shall they be found faulty. He shall break down their altars. He shall spoil their images. So like I said, guys, this verse historically is talking about Israel. It's talking about the different images that they had set up. So they had these different, you know, historically, it's like all physical stuff, right? They had these statues that they set up. Maybe it was Molech. Maybe it was whatever kind of gods the other nations were worshiping. They set up all these different statues and, you know, they worship those things. But if you think about it, and most of you guys probably know the doctrine on this, Israel, what they went through, like in a physical way, is like what we can go through in a spiritual way whenever we get out of fellowship with the Lord. And so I want to break this verse down here a little bit for you guys, because this is kind of going to be the main topics I'm going to hit here. So it says, Israel is an empty vine, okay? So that might sound kind of weird at first or kind of confusing, but basically in the Bible, just to give you the doctrine real quick, so the vine or God's vine in the Old Testament was the nation of Israel. You go over to Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 9, it says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall throughly glean the remnant of Israel as a vine. Turn back thine hand as a grape gatherer into the baskets. Over in Isaiah chapter 5 verse 7, it says, for the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant. And he looked for judgment, but behold oppression, for righteousness, but behold a cry. So Israel is empty in the sense of, in this verse, they're empty in the sense of they're without anything, basically anything for God. Inwardly, they have nothing going on inside their hearts. You get over to different places in the prophets, I think it's over in Jeremiah, it talks about basically the prophet Jeremiah is like looking into their hearts and seeing basically all the different sins that are going on in there. Because all sin starts in the heart. I mean, basically, the Bible talks about, you get over there in Proverbs chapter 4, I believe it is, it says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Everything starts in the heart. Whatever we end up doing, our lifestyle, our actions, things we say, and everything like that, it all starts inward. So it started inward with Israel, just like it starts with us. And that's what made them so empty, because in their heart, they wanted those other gods. They wanted those statues. You know, the Gentiles didn't just like bring those things in and try to trick them into worshiping those things. No, it was a conscious decision for them to go after that stuff. And so basically with all that, they start in their hearts, desiring God less and less, and then their actions, their lifestyle, starts reflecting that. So they are empty in that way. And so, going on to the next part, it says, he bringeth forth fruit unto himself. So, if you guys catch it, it says he and himself. So, obviously, those aren't pronouns you use for the Lord. Those are pronouns for an individual, obviously. It said, he bringeth forth fruit unto himself. So, Israel, once they got out of fellowship, what were they concerned about? They were concerned about the fruit that they were bearing for themselves, not for the Lord. Before that, you find in different places in the Old Testament where there's plenty of times where they're trying to, at their best, they're trying to serve the Lord. They're trying at their best to have fruit for him. And it's usually after something bad happens to them and they need God to bail them out, which that can happen in our lives a lot of times. But it says, bearing fruit unto themselves. All right? And I thought that was a really interesting phrase because, you know, that's pretty much what the world teaches you. But I always thought it was interesting. The world teaches you to bear fruit for yourself in the sense of the world wants you to live for yourself. And it's kind of funny because, like, I remember when I was unsaved, like, to me, that didn't sound bad at all. That sounded like it made a lot of sense. Well, yeah, I have my own rights to my own life, you know, like, I should want to make the most of myself, right? I should want to, you know, do whatever I want, basically. I mean, you know, you got good things you can do. I should want to, you know, go to a nice school, have a nice job, a car, wife, kids, you know, all that stuff. But I should also want to be able to do anything I want, you know. I should want to sin, you know. I should want to party, drink, you know, do drugs or things like that. All that stuff in the world, right? I mean, it's my life. I'm building my own life, right? It's about me, isn't it? I mean, you see all those kind of ideas out there, you know. I mean, I remember, like, when I was, like, a little kid, like, watching, like, Disney movies growing up and stuff like that. I don't know if you guys ever caught it, but, like, you go back and watch some of those movies, it's, like, it's kind of all, like, just talking about, like, you basically, like, rebelling against like everything and then just doing whatever it is you want to do, like pretty much like following your heart. Like, it's subtle and you don't get that when you're a little kid, but like when you watch it now, it's like pretty apparent. But not just, you know, with like goofy movies like that, but you just see that like today. Like, you see that in TV, you see that in the media, you see that in social media. You know, it's all about like living your best life, basically. Like, that's like a phrase like I've heard, like, we didn't say that like when I was like growing up, but like I hear it like all the time, like, oh, I'm just trying to live my best life, or like, be the best version of yourself. And it's just interesting because it's like, at face value, that stuff doesn't sound bad, right? Well, yeah, why wouldn't you want to be the best version of yourself? Why wouldn't you want to be the best at, you know, whatever it is you're into, whether it's sports or music or academics and things like that? You know, why wouldn't you want to be the best version of yourself? Well, while there's nothing wrong with being the, you know, being good at those things, what we also have to realize is that as Christians, what are we really supposed to be the best version of? Is it ourselves? Are we supposed to bear fruit to ourselves? Is it really all about us? You know, a lot of times whenever we're living for the Lord, we kind of get lost in like what the world says that we should be doing, you know, without even really realizing it. You know, I mean, just to give you guys an easy example of that, you know, I mean, like whenever I come home from work and I've had like a long day, say I haven't read my Bible in the morning, which I try to do that, but a lot of times I end up not. I try to read my Bible in the morning, but if I don't, I come home from a long day, you know, I start thinking about how, man, I'm so tired. I worked so hard. You know, I did a lot for my boss today. I did my best and everything like that. Like, I deserve just to, you know, chill. Like, my Bible will be there. It'll be there later. You know, I really deserve just to chill right now. I haven't seen the latest episode of Cobra Kai. I'd really like to watch that right now. You know, I loved it, or play my PS5 or something like that. I love just to chill right now, you know? I mean, like, and hey, it's my PS5, it's my, you know, it's my TV, it's my apartment, you know, I should be able to do whatever I want, right? I shouldn't have to, you know, do something that I don't want to do if I don't want to do it. It's my life, you know? And so, that's the thing. It's kind of an interesting thing. It's like, I don't know about you guys, but whenever I want to start doing something that my flesh likes, it's always easier to get right into doing that than it is to get into reading my Bible, or it is to start praying, or it is to, you know, maybe if there's somebody I need to check on at church, somebody I need to minister to, it's always easier to start doing something I want to do than it is to start doing something like that. And I don't know if you guys have ever thought about it before, but there's a reason for that, because every single day, we're in a battle. Every single day, we're in a struggle, and that struggle is with our flesh. the struggles with our flesh. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 17, "For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." So, like I said, guys, we're always in a battle. We're in a daily battle against our flesh. It's always wanting to go against the Holy Spirit of God inside of us. That's why it's so hard. That's why it's like whenever you want to do something for the Lord, whenever you want to start getting in your Bible, you know, maybe you made a commitment to it, like, well, I'm going to start getting my Bible more lately. I haven't been getting into it like I should be. I'm going to start doing it. That's why there's always a reason that pops in your head not to do it whenever the time comes to do it. That's the flesh. That's why there's a struggle. There's always a struggle there. And so you might ask yourself, why is it always so hard? Like, I found myself asking that, even though I know it's my flesh. Why is it so hard for me just to, I mean, get my Bible? Why can't I just read? I know how to read. Nothing hard about it. You know, I graduated high school. I can read. Nothing hard about reading. I can open a book. I got my hands. You know, I got my motor skills. I can open a book. I can start reading. I got a brain. I can think. You know, why can't I just start reading it? What's so hard about that? If I pick up some other book, it wouldn't be so hard. It's because your flesh doesn't like this book. Their flesh doesn't like the Word of God. The Holy Spirit in you likes the Word of God. It wants to do that. That's why you want to do it. That's why you want to get in the Bible. But your flesh doesn't like it. And that's unfortunately the battle that we have to deal with every day. And that's the battle of us, you know, either bringing fruit unto ourselves or bringing it unto God. And that's where Israel was at in Hosea here. They were trying to bring fruit unto themselves. They were more concerned with being the best version of themselves than being the best version of what God wanted them to be. They wanted what they want. And that's the same struggle that we get into. And so, the next part of this passage here, guys, it says, "According to the multitude of his fruit, he hath increased the altars. According to the goodness of his land, they have made goodly images." So, whenever we decide to give into our flesh, say we decide, well, I could do this for the Lord. I could study my Bible. You know, I could reach out to this friend that I've been trying to minister to. I could pray for somebody. I could come to church, but I think I'm going to decide to do this instead. Whenever we give ourselves over to that, that's whenever we start increasing our altars, so to speak. So Israel, once they got going with this, God is basically telling them, you're increasing your altars. And so if you guys don't know, the altars are basically like the way that they worship these statues back in the Old Testament. All right, they built altars to these things, altars to these false gods. And so he's saying, because you're bearing fruit on yourself, because you're going the way of the flesh, because you're going the way I don't want you to go, you're setting up more and more altars. That's another thing about the flesh, is it can never have enough. You can tell yourself over and over again, just one more episode of Cobra Kai. You can tell yourself again, just, you know, one more game, you know, or one more, I don't know, one more, whatever it is you're into. You can tell yourself, well, it's just going to be one more time, then I won't do it again. No, you're going to do it again. You're going to do it again. If you guys haven't already experienced that, trust me, I have. You're going to do it again. And that's the thing about it, is just like, you can never give your flesh the license to do anything, one thing. Don't even give it one thing. You have to cut it right there. And that's not to say there's nothing, you know, there's something wrong with having things you like to do or trying to be better at something. But at the end of the day, where do you draw the line with that thing? Where do you say, okay, now I'm done. It's time for me to balance out time for the Lord. You know, really, you should have been thinking about the Lord, whether or not he wanted you to do that thing in the first place, or how could you be pleasing to him within that? But oftentimes we kind of separate them that way. And so that's the next part of the verse I want to, or the passage I want to get to you guys. So in the second verse, it says, their heart is divided. Their heart is divided. All right. So what does that mean? Well, think about it this way. So if you're like hiking on a trail or something like that. So you're hiking along and then you come to a fork in the road, you know, where it veers off. You come to a fork in the road and you can either go obviously in one direction or you can go in another direction. One way is going to keep you on the trail. It's going to lead you safely out. The other way is sketchy. You know, maybe there's like a lot of rocks. Maybe there's a lot of, you know, snakes, spiders, mice, you know, stuff we've been talking about earlier you guys don't like. You know, maybe there's like a lot of different things out there that you don't want to go towards. But you still think to yourself, well, I don't know. Maybe I should risk it. Maybe it's a shortcut. Maybe I can get there quicker. You know, maybe I don't need to take the right path. But say, you know, some of us find ourselves doing that in life, but say you don't even do that. Say you just decide to stay there. Well, I don't want to make a decision. I'm just going to stay put. I mean, when it comes down to the Bible and serving God or not serving God, there's no choice I mean, there's no choice to stay where you're at. There's no choice to stay where you're at. You either go one direction or you go the other. There's no middle ground. Because if you think about it, if you always stayed at that fork in the road, you would never move. You would never move. So applying it to, you know, our life as Christians, if you just stayed where you were at with God, say God is calling on you right now to go forward with your growth with him. Say he's calling on you to give something up or to begin doing something. If you just stayed where you were at, you would never grow. You would never grow. And then God can only use you so much. He can only use you up to that point to where you're going to say, well, I'm not going to go that far, Lord. I'm not going to decide which way to go. I'm just going to stay put and I'm just going to stay where I'm at. You know, we can't have a divided heart like that. You can't have a divided heart like that. You have to choose to go one way or the other. You're either all in or you're all out. That's why the Bible talks about over in the book of Revelation in chapter 3. It says, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Thou art neither hot nor cold or lukewarm. You just want to stay put. You want to stay where you're at. You want to have, basically, you want to have that divided heart. You want it both ways. But Zach was talking about earlier, this movie we were watching, I was watching it with him too, Torture for Christ. I mean, I've never seen such an example of like going all out like that. I mean, personally, I truly don't believe I could do something like that where I'm at with the Lord right now. Maybe someday he'll call me to do that, and I'm sure he'll give me all the grace in the world to be able to do that. But right now, I couldn't do something like that. Like the stuff that that man went through, that's going all out. That's choosing to not have a divided heart. That's choosing to not bear fruit to yourself. That's choosing to have the right image to display to somebody. I definitely recommend you guys watching that if you ever get a chance. But like I said, guys, at the end of the day, we have to make a choice. Which direction are we going to go? We can't stay at the middle. We can't stay where the road divides. We have to choose where we're going to go. And the choice is clear according to the Bible. Romans 12, verse 2 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So the clear choice is the Lord, but we have to ask ourselves, is that the kind of image we're wanting to put out to the world? Are we willing to do that? Or would we rather just go with what we want and bear that fruit to ourselves? So that's kind of the negative aspect of it, guys. Hosea chapter 10, verses 1 and 2 here, that's kind of the negative way to go, the negative direction is what I'm trying to say. But the way you can go, the positive way to go, the way with God, there's three different aspects to it, all right? So I want to talk to you guys now about how do we maintain a Christian image. Say you decide, okay, the world's not for me. You know, I enjoy doing these different things that I like doing, but at the end of the day, I want to bear fruit for the Lord. I want to produce fruit for him. I want to have a godly image. I want to have the image of Jesus Christ. I don't want to have the image of my flesh or what it is I want to do. There's three different things you can do to make that happen. Number one, make it the only image you focus on. Make the Lord the only image you focus on. Make his lifestyle, according to the word of God, the only lifestyle you focus on. All right? So, I don't know about you guys, but I know like when I was your age, like I did a lot of different stuff or got into different things, you know, whether it was like, you know, trying out sports, or whether it was, I don't know, just like different music I would listen to or different movies I watch and stuff like that. I did a lot of that stuff to please like the friends around me. I did a lot of that stuff because I wanted to be seen as somebody, you know, cool to the rest of my friends, basically. You know, I wanted to be in with like what everything else that was going on. I wanted to be a part of everything. And so whenever we as Christians start to focus on something like that, you know, we're getting our attention off of the wrong thing. We're starting to produce fruit for ourselves that way. And guys, in the Bible, I don't know if you guys have ever thought about this. This might be kind of abstract a little bit, but the Bible talks about over in Philippians 4:19, it says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." I think sometimes we're kind of tempted to look at that thing as like, okay, well, he'll give me some clothes, right? Or he'll give me food, or he'll give me, you know, put gas in my car so I can go to work, go to school so I'm not stuck on the side of the road, or, you know, he'll help me out with some kind of surgery or operation I have, or he'll help me get through, you know, feeling sick or something like that. Yeah, he'll provide for my needs like that. But think about it even farther than that, guys. Think about other things that we need. You know, as people, what do we need? What do we look for as people, as human beings? What do we look for? You know, we look for, a big one is, we look for relationships with people. We look for a sense of belonging with other people. We look for, you know, friends, for people to be close with, things like that. that verse also goes towards that. Like I was saying, I don't know about you guys. Maybe you guys have been in this boat before, maybe not. But I know many times when I was growing up, the image I try to put out there to other people was because I just wanted friends. But at the end of the day, for us as Christians, God's going to provide friends for us. God's going to provide a community for us. He's going to provide people around us to support us. And so the way he does that, though, it's not by like us trying to go around, trying to like, you know, I don't know, act a certain way to other people, trying to get people, you know, to be pleased by what you do, what you say, what you look at, what you listen to, things like that. That's not the way to get friends or to get that community or to get people around you and edify you according to the word of God. The way to do that is over in Matthew chapter 6, and it's verses 32 and 33. It says, "For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." So what that means right there is that if you seek the Lord as the number one thing, he's the number one image you're trying to put across to other people. He's the number one model for your lifestyle. If you make the Lord that, everything else is going to fall into place around you. You're going to have all the friends you could ever want. You're going to have people around you that are going to support you, that are going to edify you. No one's going to edify you as much as the people in this church, guys. Like, no one is going to be there for you like the people in this church. He's going to put those people around you. And maybe that's not your struggle, though. Maybe that's not your struggle. Maybe that's not what you struggle with when it comes to making the Lord your only focus. But all the same, guys, if you're willing, he's able to change your heart. If there's something in the way, if there's something distracting you from focusing on the Lord, making him your number one thing that you try to be like, that you aspire to be like, if there's something in the way, as long as you have a willing heart to get that thing out of the way, he'll take it out. You just have to be willing. You just have to be willing to focus on him. And that's the thing, is like the world system we live in, it tries to throw all these different things at us. It tries to distract us with even just harmless things, even stuff that we like to do. You know, stuff I was mentioning earlier, TV, movies, video games, sports. It tries to distract us with all these things. Hey, be like this. Be this way. This is what you should be putting out to the world, you know. Everybody's going to want to be around you if you do this. You know, you're going to have all kinds of attention. You're going to get, you know, this many likes on Facebook or this many likes on Instagram, whatever. You're going to get all this stuff, you know. Just focus on all this stuff. You know, you can live for God later. You can bear fruit for God later. Right now, just bear fruit for the world for just a little bit. Let yourself have a little fun. Let your flesh have a little fun. Bible says that's not the way to get it done. If you want to have a complete life, if you want to have everything that you need, if you want to have all those things, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You have to seek God first, and then your needs get met. You don't try to meet him on your own. You don't try to get everything you want on your own and then leave God on the back burner. It doesn't work like that. And I've tried that in my life before. I've been out of fellowship before, out of church, out of the word of God. It did not work out for me. I ended up right before I came to this church, I was going to a Methodist church. But right before that, my life was pretty much a mess. I had failed college. I didn't have a car, didn't have a job, didn't have any friends. I didn't have anything going for me. But I decided that I need to get back in fellowship with the Lord. That's really what I was missing in my life. It wasn't all these different things. These different things were just the result of being out of fellowship. That was the reason I lost all those things. But as soon as I got back in fellowship, I got right with the Word. No, got right with the Lord, got back in the Word. Then everything started falling back into place in my life. I got a new car. I got a new job. I got a bunch of people around me. I had everything. I was able to move out of my parents' house. I was all set up. The Lord set it all up for me because I chose to focus on him first. I wasn't even worried about when was I going to get all that stuff. I just knew I had to focus on the Lord, and he brought it to fruition. So the second thing, guys, to focus on is, this might be kind of abstract, maybe you guys haven't thought about it this way before, but another way to make the Lord your number one focus, or to make his image the number one image you put out there, is just simply to consider the people around you that need to see that from you. Like I said, that might be kind of different. I'll say it again. So think about the people around you that need to see Christ being displayed in your life. You know, I'm sure right now you guys are probably all thinking about at least like one person you're trying to witness to right now. One unsaved person in your life, you're trying to get saved. Or maybe there's a friend or two that's out of fellowship right now that needs to get back in church, needs to get back in the Word of God. You know they do. And so you're asking yourself, well, how can I make that happen? You know? Well, just simply consider the state that they're in. something to consider their final destination, you know? I mean, nothing will motivate you like thinking about a loved one's eternal destination of where they might end up. Just to give you guys a personal example of that, I mean, I think most of you guys know, like, my mom is getting discipled here by the church for, like, years. I didn't even know she was saved. She had always been, well, not always been saved, but she had been saved for about, I don't know, maybe like 20 years or something like that, and I just didn't even know it. But for the longest time, I didn't think she was saved. And, you know, praise the Lord, he allowed me to be in her life so that after I got in this church, after I started getting plugged in, so that way I was able to minister to her. But just the thought of thinking about, you know, my mom ended up in hell was very motivating to me to try to stay consistent. And, you know, I'm not something special, guys. Like, I don't mean to talk too much about myself, but at the same time, like, that's what we have to think about. You know, sometimes it's not so much do you want to live for the Lord. Sometimes it's people around you holding you accountable to live for the Lord. Because there's plenty of times our flesh doesn't want to do what's right. And the only thing holding us accountable or the only thing making us do it is that accountability from the people around us to do what's right. Sometimes that's the only thing. Even getting you in the Word of God, I've been there before. You know, if I stop being consistent with reading this book, it might change my attitude. It might change my behavior. And then maybe people around me will notice that. Maybe they'll pick up on that thing. Be like, Drake doesn't seem like himself lately. What's going on? Well, if I'm not in my Bible, that would be it. You know, I don't know about you guys, but I've been there before. And then the third thing, guys, how to make... maintain that Christian image or maintain, you know, having that that godly lifestyle is simply realizing, kind of like I was talking earlier, guys, about just how the rapture of the church is getting pretty close. You know, this whole thing's drawn to a close. So the third thing is realize how little time we really have left. You know, with all the craziness going on in the world, all these COVID restrictions, all these lockdowns and things like that, I mean, I'm sure you guys have already thought about this before. You've heard about it a lot, but we might not be meeting too much longer like we are right now. I mean, we already split off into, you know, the 10 people groups. You never know. Maybe that would end up happening again. Or maybe we just wouldn't be able to come. We might be one day here soon limited on how much we can see each other. And so thinking about that, you have to consider if I'm limited in the amount of time I can witness to somebody or if I'm limited in the ways I can minister to somebody, I should be taking a whole lot of time to make sure that I'm producing a godly image, I'm producing fruit for the Lord, so that way with what little time I have left, I can redeem the time, as the Bible says, and minister to somebody. I can be an influence, a godly influence on somebody else. Like I said, guys, I've been thinking about this kind of stuff all this week and just been evaluating my own life and just like where I've been at. And so that's just kind of my challenge to you guys, is just like really consider, you know, what kind of image are you putting out there? What kind of like lifestyle do you have? What kind of reputation? What if somebody had to describe you, what would they say? What would they say? Would they say, oh, that's a Christian? Oh, they're a Christian. Oh, they go to Old Paths Baptist Church. Or would they think more about, you know, maybe something worldly? Not just, you know, hobbies. Would they maybe think about a behavior? You know, would they maybe think about, oh, well, they act like this? You know, oh yeah, that's that person that does this, you know. These are the kind of things I've been thinking about lately, guys. So I just want to share that with you guys, and that's what I have for you, and I hope it was a blessing to you.
Great, that was perfect. I think they're closing up out there. But as you guys go and prepare to head out before we pray here, just think about that, what he was saying. And it looked like most of you guys are pretty attentive and taking in what he was talking about. That's the big thing, man. Just think about that. When you got saved, God didn't drop you dead. He didn't rapture you out of here. He didn't take you home to heaven. So why did he leave you here? And who did he leave you here for? Are you guys letting them down? You know, who is it that is counting on you to get them to heaven? What Christian is counting on your testimony to keep encouraging them to stay with it until they get out of here? That's the thing, guys. You are a dying breed. It doesn't seem like it because there's no cameras here. Nobody's here cheering for us for being in this room on Thursday night. You're not going to walk out of here and, you know, get higher status points. But what's happening right here in this room, what Drake just did, opening up the Word of God and taking our perspectives, taking our affections, taking our heart attitudes and taking everything that's in us and charging it back towards God and heaven and eternity,
That's dying out, man. It's a dying breed. Most churches are dropping spiritual stuff and turning political. Or they're just doing stupid stuff in general. This is what we're doing right here is going to be extinct. That's the truth. The world is not going to have what we're meeting to do right now. And are you going to keep carrying that thing until God takes you home? Or are you going to join the rest of the world and start carrying their flags and carrying their banners for whatever causes that they're upset about or that they're trying to march on? Guys, that's huge. Anybody can do that stuff. Anybody can get a career. Anybody can be an athlete. Anybody can do all those things and go straight to hell. Absolutely. We know you have to take care of yourself and God's going to supply your needs. He's going to feed you and all that stuff. But guys, this is what's the most important thing. You getting serious with God so that God can use you to accomplish his plan. Macy has tools that I don't have, and God has a plan for her that only she can accomplish. But she's a tool in God's hand, but she still has to say, yes, Lord, use me. Same with Lexi, same with Saray, same with Amanda, all you kids in here. Why weren't you aborted at birth? Why weren't you born mentally retarded? Maybe you feel like you act like that sometimes, but no, you guys have all your wit about you. Did you guys petition God before you were born, before you came into the world, and beg him to be born healthy? Of course not. Okay, he gave it to you. Now, what are you going to do with it? You going to keep building up fruit for yourself? Anybody can do that. But who can say, God, what do you want? Have your way with me. All right? I know maybe that's too deep for some of you to get, but I don't think it is. I know you kids. When we have our open mic nights, I got to see where you guys go. You understand that, but do you have enough courage to act on it? Like Danny said in his message on Sunday, it's very, very simple, but it's not very easy. Okay? Well, where are my soldiers at then? God has called out to each and every one of us to fulfill this mission, to fulfill this call. Are you going to answer it? I trust you guys can do that. I'm going to be praying for you that we can make that happen. Drake, thank you so much for that great message. Let's pray and we'll get out of here, guys. Lord, I don't take for granted what you gave us tonight, and I thank you for that. Thank you that there's just so many great Christians in this church that we can turn the pulpit over to and they can give us what we need. Lord, that was just so good for me to hear, and I was just nourishing on that thing like a famished, you know, starving soul, God. And I thank you for that. I pray that these kids will realize how important what Drake gave them tonight was, Lord, turning our attention back to you, getting fruit towards you. Lord, the moment we take our last breath, I just wish they could see what that's going to be like. What is it going to be like to stand before you? Are the things that you're worried about right now, the things that you're mostly concerned about, when you die and stand up there before God, is he going to be right there concerned about those same things? Or will they look like stupidity, Lord? Will they look like foolishness that we took our time and our effort and our energy and wasted it on such temporal things? God, you've given us an eternal calling, God. You want us to go out there and go after the souls of men. You want us to be a testimony and a light in this world so that men will look at us but glorify you, Lord, when they see your works through us. Help us not to sacrifice what's eternal on this temporary altar, Lord, of the things of the flesh and the things of the world. Lord, I know these kids have got what it takes. I know we're easily distracted, God, but just give us grace to fulfill this. Help our church to be one that stays with you and does this, Lord, no matter what everybody else does. Help us to consolidate our purpose and our vision and focus it on what you would be pleased in. Any kid right here that's serious about doing this, God, I pray that you would just give them the wisdom on how to implement these things and be with them. We pray and ask this in your son Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, man. That was good. I love you guys. Get out of here. Looking forward to Tuesday. We'll meet up again in our lifeline. And until then, stay frosty. What's up, Keaton?